It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle. We've covered Penn State's bases from the weekend. A lot of recruiting stuff to try to follow. Some key targets and key names have emerged on that front. So it'll be a fun next couple weeks leading up to the early signing period. There's also been, you know, a little bit of commotion in the Big Ten, both things that have happened in the league and things that the league might be discussing in further length. So it's a good time, you know, as we're running up to bowl season, we're running up to the college football playoff, just trying to figure out where the Big Ten stands in that conversation. I think it's also an interesting discussion to figure out where the Big Ten is going, and the idea of possibly scrapping divisions and going for one free-for-all is an interesting one. And I'm just curious, you know, and especially, you know, you throw in your Purdue's and you throw in some other programs that seem to be making steps forward, trying to figure out in 3, 5, 10 years where we think this is all headed. So that's kind of what we're looking to accomplish. And I want to start, Greg, with Jim Delaney, the Big Ten commissioner, mentioning that conversations seem to be escalating a little bit about reconfiguring the Big Ten, getting rid of the East and West divisions, taking the top two teams for a championship game scenario. I just wonder, you know, what's that going to look like? How's that going to work? How's it going to fit? What should people expect? How likely is this? You know, it seems it's awfully early in the conversations, and it seems like just an idea right now, but they are discussing
it. Yeah, no question. I mean, I think if you're not going to get rid of the nine-game conference schedule, which I have no reason to think that they will, I think you have to do something. Here's the problem you get into, in my mind anyway, when you start talking realignment. You can, if you're going to realign things, to me, you can only do it for football. Because if you start doing it for other sports, you know, the East and the West, one of the biggest advantages is, you know, the men's basketball team in Penn State, for example, they can bust to Rutgers, they can bust to Maryland. You know, you take some of the travel budget, you reduce it for these other sports by being East and West. So that way, you know, if you do one division and the random, you know, crossover game happens, if your crossover games happen to be Iowa, Wisconsin, and let's just say Purdue, then you're in trouble because all of a sudden your travel budget for men's basketball, which it's hard enough to turn a profit in most other sports besides football as it is, suddenly you're you know, making that even harder because of the financial strains of the added travel. So to me, this is a football-only conversation. I have no issue with making it one division. I dislike divisions greatly in all sports, quite honestly. I just think that I understand why we have them and why it's been that way forever, but I still don't really care for it. So make it like the Big 12. Big 12 is doing this. They haven't had an issue getting into the playoff. If I'm, you know, if you look back over the last couple of years, you know, they have a 9-game conference schedule. They have one division and the best two teams playing the title game, and it's worked out for them so far. Maybe that's something the Big Ten needs to consider implementing immediately because it's been left out of the college football playoff 3 years in a row, Dustin. And like James Franklin said, they at least have to start discussing something because of that and what they can maybe do differently moving forward to try and prevent it.
I don't know what the solution is. What I know is the college football playoff, because it's such a narrow field at four teams, because not all, you know, obviously the math is pretty simple in this one. Not every league can be represented. It's like a beauty pageant where they're trying to look around and try to figure out how to best align themselves with what the playoff committee is looking for. I don't know that getting rid of divisions is the best way. What I do know is that the divisions, how they're set up now, just doesn't. The West doesn't pose a big threat to the East champion. And the East champion, there's a good chance that they were beat up by somebody or multiple somebodies along the way. So the lopsided nature of the divisions to me is the bigger issue than having divisions at all. So with that in mind, I think Ohio State's problem was not the lopsided divisions this year. The Ohio State's problem, which, you know, they emerged as the Big Ten's best, the best candidate for the playoff. Their problem is that they lost 49-20 to Purdue.
Right.
Their problem is that 2 years ago they lost huge on the road to Iowa. You know, I think there are certain things that have to be controlled. You know, as funny as it is that Ohio State has dominated this rivalry series with Michigan, you know, including this season when Michigan looked like the much better team coming in, their big problem is that they couldn't remain consistent from week to week. And we had a question last week on the Ask Greg segment. If you haven't asked a question of Greg here, you can do it on the Keystone Sports app. There's an Ask Greg button. But one of the questions was, how do they keep putting Penn State in a position, and this is just one example, where they're playing more or less Michigan, Ohio State back to back?
Right.
The scheduling within the lopsided nature of the division, you set a team up to fail. You know, and I think that's what the Big Ten needs to look at as a whole. And maybe the division thing is part of it. Maybe getting rid of it, the divisions is part of this. But do a better job of setting your teams up to succeed.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you have a couple of situations like that where some of it's because of the way it's set up, and some of it's just because of random scheduling. But you know, you shouldn't have Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State as the four biggest teams in not just the East but the Big Ten. They should never be playing each other back to back weeks. And you know, there has to be a way to schedule around that. And the question is, has the Big Ten looked at it in such a way that they can make that work and not have these teams kill each other and eat each other alive back-to-back weeks, and then because of that, you know, they're left out. But again, to go back to the point you made, the other part of this is that there's no question, it's not the East in a lot of the cases beating the East, and that's what the problem is. It's the West that, you know, the last couple of years, they've been unable to avoid, you know, the top team has been unable to avoid a crossover loss. And this year, you know, you can say all that you want at all with a tough Big Ten East schedule is part of the reason why Ohio State lost to Purdue. And I guess maybe I could buy it a little bit. But for the most part, what it comes down to in my mind is that just what you said, if you don't lose that game, or if you don't get blown out in that game, even if it's a close one, if it's fluky and people can go back and say, well, that was, you know, that was kind of a fluky one, then that'd be one thing. There was no flukiness about that, though. Purdue dominated Ohio State for 60 minutes, and it's why Ohio State had one loss and was in a conversation that ultimately left them out of the playoffs. So, yeah, you do have to recognize all of that when you're talking about this realignment and lopsided divisions and all that kind of stuff, for sure.
Well, if you look at it on paper, would you not say that the most likely scenario for the top two tens in the Big Ten going into each year would be Ohio State and Michigan?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most likely scenario. And they're also preserved as a last week of the season deal. You could have a situation where plenty of years, if things are the way they are and they preserve that end of regular season date, you could see Michigan, Ohio State back to back in a scenario where the top two teams go. But I do think, you know, that a lot of times the East will have the top two teams in the league. And where you have a team from the West who in a lot of years just doesn't really have a shot to beat the East champ, you can kind of smooth out that situation. You can give, you know, whoever emerges as the champion, if they're in the college football playoff conversation, you can give them another shot at a top 10 win if you do it this way too.
Right. Yeah, no question. So then it just builds on the resume. So I don't know if this will be something that's changed for this 2019 football season, but it certainly seems like something is going to have to change here. You know, I mean, the other thing that makes it tough, Dustin, is that the College Football Playoff Committee, it's hard. You can't pin anything on them. You can't lock them into this, that, or the other thing going to be the end-all, be-all decision point, because they just haven't given a clear set of criteria that they use every single year. We know a list of criteria that they lose, but I don't think we'll ever know which is the most important one. I don't think we'll ever know which is the one that matters the most. I don't think we'll ever know which is the one that...
And I'm okay with that, because the criteria have to be rolling criteria, because how you're going to judge teams head-to-head from each year to the next is going to be completely different.
Right.
So I'm okay with not knowing exactly, but I think we mentioned this last week, it's the teams that are losing the fewest games who are getting in.
Right.
You know, most of the time, if you're a Big Ten team, if you're an SEC team, if you're, you know, Clemson, whatever, if you navigate and win your league with one loss, you got a real good shot of getting in.
Yep.
Ohio State was different this year because they, you know, this was a year where there were multiple teams that were deserving for that fourth spot, and Oklahoma was the same thing, and they didn't have a terrible loss. You know,
right.
The quality of the loss ended up being a tiebreaker in that situation. So, yeah, I think from year to year, it's going to be how you judge teams is going to be different.
I agree with that.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to check out tailgatewine.com, the blue and white wine gift box. It can be for holiday season. It can be birthdays. It can be anniversaries, whatever. Also have some wine and barbecue packages to pair them up with some sauces and rubs. Check it out, tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. I wanted to touch on the couple coaching situations here, and I'm going to throw Jeff Brohm in the mix too. Him staying at Purdue was a big deal, I think. But most recently, Mike Locksley, Alabama assistant from Maryland, has deep recruiting ties to the Maryland, Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia area, is hired as the head guy at Maryland. What do you make of the hire? How big of a threat does he pose from a recruiting standpoint, and then from a getting Maryland pointed in the right direction standpoint?
I mean, sure. I think obviously his coaching credentials are very strong, and that he will be able to recruit and coach quite well and at a high level. But at the end of the day, when it comes to threatening Penn State, I mean, it's simple. They have to win more down at Maryland for that to be the case. And until they do that, it's just hard to even entertain the idea of Maryland beginning to beat Penn State on the recruiting front or this, that, or the other thing. You know as well as I do that Penn State is going to be able to get who it wants when it wants them, and its talent pool and its roster depth and all that kind of stuff is not going to change. So, and Maryland has to somehow find a way to grow its talent to begin with, and then win consistently, win 8 games a year. That'd be a good starting point. They haven't done that lately, so they have a long way to go. Mike Locksley could be the guy to get him there. I'm not going to say that he cannot. I'm not going to say it's guaranteed that he'll be able to, but they go with a guy that they know. They go with a familiar face, and sometimes that works out really well. Sometimes it doesn't work out as well as you think it's going to. So we'll see.
Situation's difficult enough. They weren't going to get a big-time up-and-comer. They needed somebody who had some Maryland roots, but at the same time, Mike Locksley does bring some upside to the table. It'll be interesting as you have that new coach smell in that region. Maryland's going to pose a threat, but what Penn State has done nicely under James Franklin, it continues to evolve, is diversify. Not all their eggs are in the same basket when it comes to recruiting. If it's not a heavy year in Pennsylvania, they can go to New York, they can go to New England, they can get into New Jersey, they're in Maryland. They've really established, and this would be an interesting one, a pipeline about last couple recruiting cycles to Virginia too. Devin Ford in the 2019 class, Brandon Smith, Ricky Slade, you go back to Yturgos Matos. I don't know if it gets shaken up by that. I'm not that worried, if I'm a Penn State fan, about Mike Locksley. You're taking care of business and recruiting. I think you will continue to do that no matter what. All right, we're going to look at action on the field. Citrus Bowl look ahead coming up after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.